29, and we'll pick up at verse number 19. Exodus 29, verse number 19. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And thou shalt take of the blood that is upon the altar, and of the anointing oil, and sprinkle upon Aaron, and upon his garments, and upon his sons, and upon the garments of his sons with him, and he shall be hallowed, and his garments, and his sons' garments with him. Father, thank you for your word. Lord, instruct us and guide us now this morning. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name, and for his sake, according to thy will. Amen. Y'all be seated. Okay. All right, brethren, we've been looking here on these Sunday mornings for the last couple of weeks about this process of consecrating the high priest and his sons. And we saw that there had been a sin offering offered first, then a burnt offering, and now we see a peace offering that's being offered. Let's look at verse 19. The Lord said to Moses, "And thou shalt take the other ram." The other ram. Now, look at chapter 29, verse 1. It says, "And this is the thing that thou shalt do unto them to hallow them, to minister unto me in the priest's office. Take one young bullock," that was for the sin offering, "and two rams without blemish." Now, one of those rams was sacrificed last week, we saw. That was the whole burnt offering. Now, the other ram. Alright, from verse 19, "And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram." Once again, an identification is made with the sacrifice. Alright, we've seen how that with the bullock, put their hands on the head of that bullock. With that burnt offering, they put their hands upon the head of it. And now, with this peace offering, their hands are going to again go on the head of this ram and make identification therewith. Again, brethren, this is, from what we can tell, comparing Scripture with Scripture, this is the peace offering. Go to Leviticus 7. Because when you see the details of the peace offering, you'll see that that's what's going on here. Leviticus 7, and verse 28. Leviticus 7, verse 28. The Bible says this, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, saying, He that offereth the sacrifice of his peace offerings unto the Lord shall bring his oblation unto the Lord of the sacrifice of his peace offerings. His own hands shall bring the offerings of the Lord made by fire, the fat with the breast. It shall he bring, that the breast may be waved for a wave offering before the Lord. And the priest shall burn the fat upon the altar, but the breast shall be Aaron's and his sons'. And the right shoulder shall ye give unto the priest for an heave offering of the sacrifices of your peace offerings. He among the sons of Aaron that offereth the blood of the peace offerings and the fat shall have the right shoulder for his part. For the wave breast and the heave shoulder have I taken of the children of Israel from off the sacrifices of their peace offerings and have given them unto Aaron the priest and unto his sons by statute forever from among the children of Israel." All right. And if you'll compare that with what's going on in Exodus 29, you'll see that this third ram, the second ram rather, you have the bullock, the ram, this other ram, is the peace offering. The details of it in Exodus 29 show it to be the peace offering. All right. Now, the word peace in the dictionary means this. It means, in a general sense, a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Take your Bible, go to Ephesians 2. This peace offering, this ram that's offered as a peace offering, pictures the Lord Jesus Christ to us. Ephesians 2 and verse 13 says this. Ephesians 2 verse 13, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one," meaning Jew and Gentile, "and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were far off, Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, Jews. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Now, what does our text here say that Jesus Christ is? Does he's our peace? The Bible says in verse number 14, for he is our peace. Brethren, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through his merits, the sinless life he lived, and then the sinless blood that he shed for our sins. We have peace with God through Christ Jesus. Now, and brethren, that offering there was called the peace offering. Let me ask you something. And this peace offering, this ram that's going to be offered for peace offering, again, they put their hands on the head of it and they make identification therewith. Let me ask you this morning, have you made connection with the Lord Jesus as your peace offering? Do you have peace with God? Is there a time in your life that you realize you are an enemy of God? God was your enemy. God was against you. You were against God. You say, I didn't have anything against God. Jesus said, he that is not with him is against him. That you were going your own way with no thought of God or his will for your life, and that you saw what you were, repented of your sin, repented toward God, and came to Jesus Christ to let Christ reconcile you to the Father. To let Christ take you in one hand and the Father in the other, and reconciliation be made. Has that ever happened to you? Is there a time in your life that you made peace with God through Christ Jesus? Now you need to know that. Eternity rests on that. Have you made connection with the Lord Jesus as your peace offering? Just like they put their hands on the head of that ram there, made that connection. Have you let Christ Jesus become your peace to bring you into peace with God? Has Christ become your peace? Have you made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? And I hope you know the answer to that question, and I hope the answer to that question is in the affirmative. But you better make sure of that and know every day that every moment that passes by brings us closer to the Lord's return, brings you and I closer to death, to that day that we'll depart this life. And brother, all that matters at that point is if you've made peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, go back to Exodus 29. Look at verse 19. Exodus 29, verse 19. And thou shalt take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands upon the head of the ram. Verse 20. Then shalt thou kill the ram, and take of his blood, and put it upon the tip of the right ear of Aaron, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons, and upon the thumb of the right hand, and upon the great toe of the right foot, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. Now, before I get to that, I did want to delve a little bit more in this thing about the peace offering. In the peace offering, I want you to get this. In the peace offering, part is offered to God. We went over this in Sunday school this morning. Part is offered to God, and that part's the fat. Okay, part's offered to God. That's the fat. And part is ate by the one offering the sacrifice. And then the officiating priest gets part. He gets the shoulder and the breast. So there's three people involved in this thing. There's three people involved. There's the one bringing the sacrifice. There's the priest who's officiating and acting there as a go-between, you know, helping that individual as he brings this and make connection there with the Lord and do that the priest part. And then there's God. And each person in this gets part of it. God gets the fat. That belongs to him. The person bringing the sacrifice, they get the flesh of the sacrifice to eat. But the priest that officiates there, he gets the shoulder and the breast. Take your Bible, go to Leviticus 7. I'll show you this. Leviticus 7. Leviticus Leviticus 7. Look at verse number 15. And the flesh of the sacrifice of his peace offerings for thanksgiving shall be eaten the same day that it is offered. He shall not leave any of it until the morning. But if the sacrifice of his offering, this is talking about the person offering it now, be a vow or a voluntary offering, it shall be eaten the same day that he offereth his sacrifice. And on the morrow also the remainder of it shall be eaten. But the remainder of the flesh of the sacrifice on the third day shall be burnt with fire. Now, I just read you that to let you know, to show you that the one offering the sacrifice ate part of the sacrifice. But the priest got part of it too. We just read that earlier. He got, in Leviticus 7, we see that the priest got the shoulder and the breast. Okay? He got that. That part that was waved and heaved, that was the priest portion. God got the fat. Alright? Now, I want you to get that and have that in your mind, that God got the fat, the officiating priest got the shoulder and breast, and the person offering it got to eat and partake of the rest. So everybody got a part. Now listen, you know what this speaks to us of? Fellowship and communion. This speaks to us of fellowship and communion. You've got God, priest, and then the suppliant. And by suppliant, I mean the person that's coming to bring the sacrifice. The one that's offering. Alright? We got those three. And those three together there, eat a part of that. And there's a fellowship that takes place. You say God ate a part of it. What do I mean by God eating part of it? That fat's offered to the Lord. The priest gets that shoulder and that breast. And then the person offering the offering, they get the flesh to eat. And it's to be eaten. This to be eaten. In fact, it's to be eaten, and there's certain rules about the things that are offered for Thanksgiving, things that are offered for vows, and how much, you know, and when it could be eaten, and if it's not eaten beyond a certain time, to be burnt. But they're to eat it there. They're to eat it. And that speaks to fellowship and communion. Go to 1 John 1. 1 John 1. 1 John 1. 1 John 1 and verse 3. 1 John 1 verse 3 says this, that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And He is our high priest. And so you see there, just like there was a threefold fellowship there in Exodus we read about, and Leviticus, there's a threefold fellowship. God, the priest, and the one offering the sacrifice. The offender. You know, the one offering the sacrifice. There's a threefold fellowship there. And brother, there's a threefold fellowship for you and I. God the Father, God the Son, and then you and me. Alright? I mean, that's what it says there. You say, you're leaving out God the Holy Ghost. No. He's involved there too. But I'm just reading this verse here. Look here. I'm talking about the different offices here we're looking at as far as God and then the Lord Jesus Christ, our priest, and then you and I. It says here in 1 John 1, 3, that truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. There's a fellowship that takes place there. There's a fellowship that takes place. That should take place. That should be in our life. In fact, brethren, I'll say this to you. Surely, in Acts 29, we see a progression here. First, there was the bullet for sin offering. A sin offering for reconciliation. Then there was a ram to be a whole burnt offering, bespeaking surrendered service. And then a peace offering of fellowship and communion. I want you to get that. I want you to really get that. Because, brother, that's how it should be with you and I. First, there's that bullet. A sin offering. Reconciliation. Then a ram, a whole burnt offering for surrendered service. Then a ram serving as a peace offering, a fellowship and communion. And don't you see, brethren, don't you see? You first have to be saved. You first got to be reconciled to God. That's first. That's first. You can't fellowship with God until you're reconciled to God. You can't serve God until you're reconciled to God. You first need to be reconciled to God. The Bible says, for He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. The Bible says God's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Because listen, God, someone got the gospel to you, and you know what? You accepted Christ as your Savior, and you got reconciled to God. So that's first, is reconciliation. Next is surrendered service. Do you know what's next? surrender it. The Bible says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I'm going to tell you something, brethren, I believe, I'll be honest with you, I believe when you get reconciled to God, I believe also at that moment you surrender. I mean, that's surrender. But then also, brethren, as you grow in the things of the Lord, there's more surrender that comes. There's areas of your life that you realize needed to be surrendered over to Him. When you got saved, what you surrendered was your will to Him. As you grow in grace, as you grow in the things of God, you'll see the different areas. Man, when you got saved, though, you surrendered you. Your will, you come and see your... So there's reconciliation, there's surrendered service. And then fellowship. And He's called you to fellowship. Now, listen. I say surrendered service. Really, I think more than anything, it's just surrendering all the things that God will deal with you about and have you surrender to Him. But because, brother, I say that. We've got to be saved and surrendered to have fellowship. We've got to be saved and surrendered to have fellowship to sup with God. You see, brother, you can get saved, you can get reconciled to God. But let me tell you something, brother. If you're not surrendered, you're not going to fellowship with God. Don't kid yourself. Don't let anybody tell you that. Don't let anybody kind of kid you and tell you you are. You're not going to take, brethren, when God's wanting your all, and you're holding back, and think you're going to take and have fellowship with the Lord. Now listen, brother, don't get me wrong. There are areas in your life that may not be surrendered that you don't even know about yet. Don't get concerned about nothing until God's concerned about it. You know what I'm saying? Brother, God brings you along, and when God says it's time to give this up to me, it's time to yield this, or it's time to do, God will guide you, and He'll, if you're honest with Him. Don't you play no games with God. Alright, tell me, brother, look here. When I came to the Lord, I came to Him the best way I knew how and surrendered. But you know something, brethren, as I grew in the things of God, I saw areas of my life He wanted. I saw areas of my life. And I grow in those things. And brethren, at any time, brother, if I got stubborn with God, I couldn't sup with Him. I couldn't fellowship with Him. You go tell me you're going to sit down at your table and fellowship with your children, with your family, and they're being in rebellion against you. You go tell me you're going to be able to sit down at a table and there's something they won't do and they're stoved up. And you go tell me, and they won't obey you and you're going to fellowship? No, brethren. And brethren, God wants us to fellowship with Him. He wants us to have fellowship with Him. He saved us to fellowship with Him. Brethren, in fact, I think a better way to put it, I say surrendered service. The best way to put it is we must be saved and surrendered to have fellowship with Him. And after that, you'll get up and go serve. Real service from God comes after you sup with God and fellowship with Him, because then you know what to do. But there's all kinds of people today that serve religiously. But it's cold service. It's dead service. It doesn't proceed forth from time spent in God's presence, fellowship with God. Do you know, brother, the Lord called you, listen, Lord saved you to spend some time with Him. To enjoy His presence. Man, that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Everything else is a byproduct of that and extends forth from that. In other words, brethren, you can go through the motions of something, but God wants you spending time enjoying time with Him. He wants to enjoy time with you. He saved you and brought you nigh to Himself, and He wants to enjoy that time. He wants to spend that time with you. You can get up from that then and go out and have effective service with Him. When's the last time you just got alone and spent some time quiet with the Lord? Just quiet with Him. Letting Him renew you. Just talking to Him. Being still. A lot of times it's hard to be still because you know you got to get something right. Quick prayers keep you from getting things took care of. It's when you're still. And God can speak to you in your spirit by His Spirit and through the Word of God and bring things to your attention that need to be dealt with. Then you can get dealt with. Fellowship with God and go on. And there's nothing like that fellowship with the Lord. Nothing. Nothing can take the place of that. Really, it can't. Alright, go with me now back to Exodus 29. And I want to ask you this morning, are you saved? Are you surrendered? And do you know of fellowship? Are you saved? Are you surrendered? Do you know of fellowship with the Lord? If you'll have that, you can proceed on. You can have right service if you've got those three things. You can have right service and know what to do and how to do. Well, look at Exodus 29, let's now look at verse 20. Then shalt thou kill the ram and take of his blood. And how about this? Why, Abigail, they took that blood of that ram, and you know what they did with it? They put it on the tip of Aaron's right ear
How about that? Took out blood and put it on the tip of his ear.
And then they took and said, and upon the tip of the right ear of his sons. So the Aaron, the high priest, and his sons are getting consecrated. So they took the blood of that ram of consecration here, the blood, and they put it on the tip of the right ear. Then they went and took it, look what it says, and upon the thumb of their right hand, so the thumb of the right hand, they put blood there, here and here, and upon the great toe of their right foot. And so they put blood on their right toe. And sprinkled the blood upon the altar round about. And then took the rest of the blood and sprinkled on the altar round about. This is also you'll see this cleansing with blood putting it on the ear and the thumb and the toe concerning a leper, I believe, who gets cleansed. But this is the consecration of the priest here, the high priest and his sons. And they take the blood of that ram of consecration, put it on the ear, put it on the thumb, put it on the great toe of the right side of the body. Ear, thumb, and toe. Great toe. Well, brethren, let me tell you what I believe that, I tell you what it speaks to me of this morning. First of all, the tip of that ear. Sanctified hearing. Sanctified hearing. So that blood sanctifies, sets something apart. You know, sets apart as special and holy and separate unto God. That blood was put on that ear, that right ear. Sanctified hearing. Take your Bible and go to Luke 8. Brethren, we need sanctified hearing. I mean, definitely the priest needed sanctified hearing because, listen, you know what, brethren? Listen, that priest was to instruct the people in the ways of God. The priest was there to help the people, instruct them in the law and the ways of God. So they needed to hear the Word of God. Those priests needed to hear from God. They needed sanctified hearing. Brethren, you and I are believer priests, the Bible tells us. And you and I need sanctified hearing. We need to be hearing the things of God. Things that edify us in the things of God. Not things that renew us in the world. Things that edify us so we can help others. Help the brethren. Help the lost. We need sanctified hearing. Because brethren, what comes out here is what first went in here. We need sanctified hearing. Luke chapter 8, verse 18. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given. And whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Take heed therefore how ye hear. Brethren, we need sanctified hearing, brethren. We need to hear the right stuff. We need to hear stuff that's going to help us and edify us and strengthen us. We need to hear from God so we can be a help to others. Brethren, you're bombarded today with psychology and psychiatry and all kinds of things. But brethren, if you're not careful, it will affect your thinking. It'll affect you. If something's continuously put on you, sooner or later it's going to affect you. You need sanctified hearing. You need to hear the things of God, the Word of God, the things having to do with God. That priest needed that so he could be a help to the people. You need to be a help to your family. You need to be a help to your church. You need to be a help to save people. You need to be a help to lost people. Take your Bible, go to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 17. Sanctified hearing. So then faith cometh by hearing. Romans 10, 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, I know that's saving faith. I believe that's saving faith. But you know something, brethren? How are you and I going to have our faith strengthened to depend upon God, to trust God, so that God can do things in our life if we're not hearing the Word of God and hearing how God has worked in men's lives in the Word of God and that same faith is available to us? Brethren, look here. Faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Brethren, your faith's not going to be strengthened unless you spend time in the Scriptures. Unless you spend time in the things of God. Brother, look here. You've got to take and realize, wait a minute, what God did with Moses, what God did with Samuel, what God did with David, what God did with Paul, those things are available to me. It's the same God. He can do those things for me. Your faith won't be strengthened. God can't work in your life unless you've got sanctified hearing and are hearing from God and hearing these things. Not just saving faith, but living faith, walking faith. And we need that. We need God's power in our life. But you can't have it without spending your time around the things of God. You don't know how susceptible you are to being influenced by others. You are susceptible to being influenced by others, by family, by others. And listen, brethren, I'm not saying that you're... But listen, sometimes your family is either maybe not saved, maybe they're not trying to walk with God, they may be carnal. Brethren, you need to be hearing from the Lord. You need to surround yourself with the things of God. Brethren, and you want to do, it'll increase your faith. And you'll see and you'll say, and God will just speak. If you're saved, God will speak to you. And He'll bring things home to you. And you'll say, well, I need to trust God in this. I need to depend on Him. I need to handle this God's way. But any time spent in God's way keeps me, in God's Word keeps me straight. And time spent away from the Word of God, I shock myself with how prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love, as the song says. All right? Look here, take your Bible. Go with me, please. Isaiah 33, verse 15. He that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions, that shaketh his hands from holding a bribe, that stoppeth his ears from hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. Amen, brother. Listen, they put that blood on that ear, sanctified hearing. Sanctified hearing. Brethren, there's some things you and I don't need to hear, and there's some things you and I don't need to see. They don't do you any good. Ask yourself something. Is what you're getting ready to listen to, watch, read, or whatever, ask yourself, is it, listen, do you simply want to hear it and see it out of a carnal desire just for the sake of seeing it or knowing it, or will it benefit you and edify you? Be honest with yourself. Will that thing do you any good, really? Brethren, I'll tell you something. I'll give you an example. A couple years ago, there was a man that did a book, evidently, on sodomy and AIDS and everything. And someone showed me the book. I didn't read it. And here's the reason why I didn't read it. I started to read it and saw when and I thought, I don't need that. I don't need that. I don't need that. All I need to know is it's sin. I do not want to know about it. But I thought, I don't need to know that. I don't want to know that. I don't want to know it. I don't want that stuff in my head. Alright, I don't want it. But I got too much in there already I wish I didn't have, huh? I don't need that. I know the man probably meant well. But brethren, I can take the scriptures. And the scriptural power enough in themselves to refute any of that. Be careful, brethren. Be careful. Be careful about what you hear and what. Ask yourself, is this going to really benefit me? Or, listen, or does my desire for this proceed from a base desire to just satisfy carnal inquisitiveness? Ask yourself, does my desire to know what I'm getting ready to read about or listen to, is this really going to edify me? Is it really going to help me? Or is the reason I want to find this out from a base carnal desire to satisfy my carnal fleshly inquisitiveness? Is it really going to help me any? Is it really? Haven't you, brethren, at times read something or saw something that maybe wasn't per se sinful, but after it was done, you're like, that didn't help me none. That didn't do anything for me. I think it depressed me. Brother, listen, I'll say this to you. You need sanctified hearing. Don't listen to gossip and rumor. Don't listen to gossip and rumor. You don't need that. You need edifying things. You need edifying things. Man, brother, even if you have to offer a rebuke or reproof, say, I don't need to hear that. I don't hear that. I don't need to hear that. Sanctified hearing, brother. We need sanctified hearing. Listen to things that edify you. All right? So the tip of the ear. And brethren, I'll tell you something. By the way, we're in today. Where it is. Talk. People are making bucks off people's desire just to talk. And so often it doesn't edify you.
Right.
Everyone, this flesh so wants frivolous things.
Don't get down. Just let's get help from God. And at times, brethren, we'll break over and not do like we should and things that don't work. Just get up from it. Get up and proceed onward. But really strive to have sanctified hearing, things that edify and help you. All right, then there was the thumb of the right hand. The thumb. Hey, brethren, sanctified service. Go back to Luke 8. Luke 8. It's interesting, isn't it? The tip of the right ear, the thumb. He really did something when he made that thumb. That thumb kind of sticks out there and, there it is. But man, what an important digit that thing is. What about that thumb? You try to grip something, that thumb wraps around, just completes it. That thumb just, about that digit there. I went to school with a boy and, I wouldn't have believed it if I hadn't seen it set right in front. That boy's thumb on one of his hands was like, it was like way bigger. I don't understand. He had a big hand anyway. That one thumb was like, whoop there, and the other one was like down there. It's just, he said it loud in the parking handicap spots. Not really. That's what he said. He did. But that thumb is so important. You just can't. Well, it's hard to do a task without that thumb. All right? Sanctified service. Take your Bible. Go with Luke 8 again. At verse 18, we just read verse 18 in Luke 8. Take heed therefore how you hear. Look down to verse 21. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it. Look at that. Hear and do. Hear and do. I kind of like that. Hear and do. First of all, the blood was on the ear. Sanctified hearing. Now we go down to the thumb. Sanctified service. Lord didn't say put it on the toe first, or didn't say put it on the thumb first, they put it on the ear. Put it on the ear, then thumb. Jesus talked about those, said, who's his mother, who's his sister, who's his brother? Those that hear the word of God and do it. Hearing and doing. Hear and do. You can't do right until you hear what right is. You can't do till you hear. Alright? But that's why we need sanctified hearing, then we can have sanctified service. You've got to hear the Word of God. You can't serve God according to your opinion, according to what you think is right. It's got to line up with the Scriptures. We've got to let God's Word guide and direct us. Sanctified hearing, then sanctified service. And it comes from fellowship. You spend time with God. You get along with God. You get quiet with the Lord. And you know what then, brethren? Then you can hear from God and know what to do and how to do it. A lot of things get cleared up when you spend some time fellowshipping with the Lord. I had a young man about 15 years ago. He was at the church and he had spent some time with another young man who was getting ready to go off to Bible college. And he called me up and said, brother, I think I'm going to 2-2. I'm getting ready. I'm going to get out of the military. I'm going up here to Bible college. And I said, okay. So he come back in, and all it did. When he come back, I asked him one thing. I said, no, brother. I said, just make sure you seek God about it. He come out maybe an hour or so later, and he said, I said, that's it. I was right. He said, well, you took care of that. I said, he goes, brother, I ain't afraid about this. He said, I was excited because that fellow was going and this and that, and I got all hyped. He said, brother, I ain't afraid of it. He was honest. He said, I ain't afraid none about it. He talked a lot and kept the enthusiasm going. Because see, when you do that, when you keep something going, you don't have to. But I asked him, I said, well, just go make sure you pray. Do you know he didn't even go pray then? He knew. He knew it was all him. He really needed to pray about it. He knew he was pushing something that if you got along with God, brethren, I'm just telling you, a lot of times, brethren, if you'll get still with God, the answer you're looking for is right there. It's probably the reason a lot of times we don't go get along. Is because we know, brethren. And I'm telling you, brethren, we know when we get along, God's going to tell you the truth. God loves honestly and brutally, brethren, and tenderly. But, I mean, He'll tell you the truth. All right? And a lot of times we know that. And so we know, but a lot of times we ain't got to go pray because we know what we're going to get because we don't know the answer. But you know, even when you are really confounded, praise the Lord, you can go to God and you can get still and you can ask Him and He'll show you if you wait and if you want to know the truth. You hear, then do. Take your Bible. Go with me, please. I'll just say this: sanctified service, brethren. We could run the references all afternoon long. Good works, good works, good works. We need good works, not to be saved, but because we are saved. Good works. Hey, we need Holy Spirit guided works. Holy Spirit guided works. See, brethren, when the Holy Spirit is guiding us and directing us, those works will have effect. They'll accomplish something. We might not see what they'll accomplish, but they'll accomplish something. They'll serve God's purposes. Good works. Holy Spirit guided works. Then, I tell you what, brethren. Go to 1 Timothy 6. Yeah, let's look at this. 1 Timothy 6. Now, remember it said the thumb. Now, let's see. Now, brother, if I went around, that's just not the optimum way. It's a lot better like that. Throw a thumb around it. If you try to grasp something like that, it's just not the same as going like that. Just, using that thumb. The thumb helps you grasp something. Helps you grasp something. The thumb helps you grasp something and hold on to it. Alright? 1 Timothy 6. 1 Timothy 6, verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Grab it. Grab it and hold on to it. So where'd that blood go on the thumb? That thumb completes that grip and allows you to grasp and hold. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Go down to verse 19. Our verse number 17. Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trusting in certain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy. That they do good. That they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate. Laying up for them store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Sanctified service. Things done for God. On that thumb, lay hold. You can't lay hold of something as good without the thumb. Okay? You cannot lay hold of something as good without the thumb. You don't have the thumb there, you can't get a good grasp on things. That blood was put on that thumb. We need a good grasp on spiritual things. A good hold on the things of God. Sanctified works. Works, things that the Holy Spirit of God is in. Take your Bible again. Go to Revelation 3. Brethren, you can do all kind of works out there, but you want works that are for God. Revelation 3. Verse 11. Revelation 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly, the Lord Jesus said. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Lord said, hold what you got. Hold fast. Hold fast. You can't hold fast as good without a thumb. That thumb helps you hold fast to something. That blood was put on that thumb. Brother, look here. You don't want nobody taking your crown. You better hold fast to what you got. And you know what? The only way you can hold fast to what you have in the Lord, is sanctified service. Holy Ghost inspired and guided works for God. That's what will give you that crown and help you keep that crown. Alright? Brethren, real quick, go to Hebrews 12. See, that thumb helps you hold on to something. Keeps you from losing it, letting it go. The Bible says, let no man take thy crown. Hold on to it. Sanctified service. In other words, brethren, that what you do is done under the inspiration and guidance and direction by God's Spirit and according to God's Word. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also accomplished a battle with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Some things you need to let go of. Some things hold you back. There might be some things in your life you need to let go of. Well, what? I don't know. We could spend all day looking at things, but why don't you develop your own prayer life and walk with God and ask God to show you, are there some things you need to let go? Some things you need to let go of. Are there some spiritual right things you need to get a good grasp on and some other things you need to let go of? I mean, brother, look here. You need to let go of things that weight you down and hold you back. You need to grasp tightly to truth and edifying things. Did you know there have been stories of people? I heard about one lady on a ship, and she would not let go of her gold and drown with it. Generally, people about to be rescued, if they won't let go of something they're holding on to, and it'll hinder their rescue. Ain't that something? My goodness, listen, if anybody in this room or anybody listening to this tape is lost, and what's holding you back from getting saved is some carnal thing, is that thing worth hell? Or is that thing you're holding on to, whatever it may be, is it worth hell? Is it worth your soul being eternally lost, trying to hold on to that thing? Brother, I don't know, but a lot of times people come to the Lord, you know, they got the right words, but you know what? They're holding on to something. They're holding on to something. That rich young ruler, he was holding on. He could put on a good pious act. He was holding on to something. And he wasn't willing to let it go. Now listen, you might have said the right words, but you know what? The Lord ain't really got your heart yet. You've not let go. There's something you're holding on to. It may be a vestige of yourself. You just ain't let go of yourself, or there's something there that you're not. It was him, it was riches. Jesus said, one thing thou lackest. Those possessions. He just could not let them go. Listen, if you're saved, but you know what? If you're saved, but something's crept in and you got a hold of something in this life, and you, maybe the Lord's telling you, you need to let go of it. Now you just be honest with it. Just be honest. Let him show you. You need to get a good hold on spiritual things. Let go, Carl. Brother, it's sad. Brother, listen to me. You kids, listen up. Moms, dads, listen up. Look here. The way this thing's supposed to go is, you're supposed to be acquainted with that Bible like the back of your hand. What I mean is, you're supposed to have a working knowledge of that Bible. Oh, God, don't call me a preacher, teacher. I'm not talking about that. You're supposed to be acquainted with that Bible to where you read it, to where you're acquainted with it, and you have a working knowledge of it. And so, look, when the preacher's preaching something or teaching on something and bringing up a principle from the Book of Kings, you're like, hey, I know the example he's talking about. Oh boy, I see that spiritual point. You see that word that you're acquainted with the story. And you can then learn the principle. If you're saved, you can grasp the principle that's being put forth. But you know what's so often today? The saints know everything trivial that's going on around this world. Everything that was trivial is going on around this world. Every new fad, every new thing. Brethren, you need to be in that book so when something's pulled out there in 2 Chronicles, you're like, okay, yeah, okay, I know what he's talking about. What kind of points are you going to bring out about it? Okay, that's a blessing. I see. You see what I'm saying? You need to be acquainted with that book. Not with all the this and the that and the where. You know, brethren, I'm going to tell you something. You might know enough useless knowledge to win you $1 million on a game show. But it won't profit you a cent in heaven. And you'll get to heaven, and would to God you had not known that stuff and known more about the things of God. Now that's just the truth, brethren. We need to be acquainted with the things of the Lord. Well, Brother Dawes, I'll just be an oddball to this world. Nah, you're getting it. That's right. Not that you're trying to be odd, but you spend time in that book, you're going to be. You have a totally different outlook on everything. It's what it's supposed to be. Alright? Brethren, let go of things that weight you down and hold you back. Grasp tightly to truth and things that edify. Alright? So, blood was put on the ear, blood was put on the right thumb, and blood was put on the great toe, that foot. The great toe. Sanctified hearing, sanctified service, sanctified walk. A sanctified walk. Hey, you know what that speaks to me on also? A sanctified walk. A balanced walk. Imagine not having that big toe. I've heard tell that it can throw your balance off. I don't know all about it or anything, but I've heard tell. I imagine it'll sure affect you. I mean, 'cause that big toe is usually way bigger than all the rest of them other four. Man, I have tripped over my big toe before. When I was young and I run around barefooted all the time. I like going barefooted. I don't do it a lot down here. We didn't have as many snakes up there as we do down here. And a lot of times you got glass. But I used to run my barefooted all over the place, man. Summertime, spring, summer came, man, my shoes, my socks were gone. Run down there, used to run on rocks. Run on rocks. Best at it was Jean Seal. She was a neighbor of ours. Man, Jean sprinted on rocks. I ran, but my running was not the... Jean flat sprinted, buddy, on rocks. I mean, she did. I don't think glass could have cut her feet. And, you know, and you go down the road. You ever go down the road? This does work. You go down the highway and walk on a white line. Walk on a white line. Keep your feet from burning absolute pieces. It works, too. The sun reflects that. We'd go down the road, and we're going to asphalt. Who you'd be dancing around and get on a white line and just walk down the... I went barefooted all over the place. But I have before got to running and tripped over my big toe. I have. Just tripped up over that thing. Our big toe got in the way and boom, there I went. So the big toe, it's there, man. It's perfect. Boy, it helps. It helps. If you run around barefooted and you're climbing this thing, that thing is real handy. That thing's real handy, man. You can catch a little ledge here or something or take a little, you know, and the big toe's important. I've heard it has to do with balance. I don't know. I've heard some say your balance ain't good if you don't have that thing. It's liable to be. God's made your body to be a balanced thing. You know, if you lose an eye, you're not as good with your balance and your perception, this and that and the other. Brother Shannon told me when he lost his eye that he'd go like, he'd go to put something on the table and he'd go like, boom, and miss it. You know, you can see it all, but it just, your things aren't quite right. You know, God meant for you to be complete, and when anything, something's not complete, then it causes a problem. Sanctified walk, a balanced walk. Go to Proverbs 4. Proverbs 4. Yeah, when you're young and you do all that, I run around for about a half a year to a year with a big old planter's wart on the bottom of my foot. Man, that thing hurt. I just kind of twist my foot the other way. Sit down one night in the living room and had my feet there, and my mom said, "What is that?" I said, "I don't know. It's been there about half a year." She said, "What? The old planter's wart on the bottom of my foot. I had to go get that thing eat off. It took forever. Big old hole on the bottom of my foot." She said, "Why didn't you say something?" I said, "Well, I just kind of adjusted my foot and kept going, and it worked out." Proverbs 4, verse 26. Proverbs 4, 26. Bible says this, "Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil." They sanctified, but they put the blood on that big toe. A sanctified walk, a balanced walk, brethren. Brethren, listen, ponder the path of your feet and let all thy ways be established. Brethren, think about what you're doing and where you're going in life and let God direct you. Ponder the path of your feet. Let all thy ways be established. In other words, brethren, don't step until you're sure of that next step. Well, what do I do in the meantime? Wait. Make sure that next step before you take it. Make sure you're getting ready to step on solid ground. Now, I'm sure, surely you've been out in the woods or places before and you can't, and you know, and boy, you ain't a good step and you get yourself a mess. Make sure that you're getting ready to step on solid ground. Alright? Make sure of it. The Bible says, let all thy ways be established. Make sure that God's giving you the go-ahead. Make sure things are clear. Then go ahead. But brother, also everybody else is liable to pass and go around and get yourself in a mess. If that way is established, if it's solid foot in the solid ground, go ahead. If it's not, hold on. Kids, get it. Get it. You didn't get it down now. Verse 27, turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. There you go, brother. Don't go to the right hand, don't go to the left. Brother, you're going to always have, there's going to usually be an extreme to something going both ways. Usually extreme go both ways. You need to get too loose and get too tight. Hit that middle ground, brother. How can you? You can. You can. You let God guide you. You let God direct you. You make sure every step's on solid ground. And you can stay right in there and don't get caught up in either extreme. A balanced walk. What does the Bible say? Walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. And you should not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You walk in the Spirit, you can have a balanced walk. Go back to Exodus real quick. Exodus 29. Just a little bit more to go. Brother Doss, we've been really thinking about this decision, and we're thinking about doing this or doing that. Well, do you have any guidance from the Lord about it? No, not really, but well, don't do anything yet. Do you have to make a decision? Well, no, not really, but then wait. Wait until you know and you're on solid ground and you have and you got some good footing. Has God established it to you? Do you feel like you have clear guidance from God? Well, no, that's just it. I don't feel like I have any clear guidance. Then hold on. Do you have a principle from the Word of God to give you direction? Well, no, then hold on. If it's wrong, there's your answer. Don't do it. That's always your answer. If it's wrong, don't do it. If it's rather, it's not really wrong, well, hold on. Hold on. See what your principles are. So, well, also, I think there's right on either. Well, let God establish it. Let God establish it. Be careful. Be careful. Look at Exodus 29. Look at verse number 20 again. It says, in the latter part of verse 20, and sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. I got to think about that. I thought, man, that's interesting. You know, they would use the blood to sanctify that altar. You know, they use the blood to sanctify the priest himself, but they use that blood to sanctify the altar. And then Jesus says something real interesting. Go to Matthew 23. Look what Jesus said. Something real interesting. Y'all bear with me. I'll try to do this verse justice. I'll try to do this principle justice. Matthew 23, look at verse 19. Look at verse 18. Matthew 23:18. And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty. See, what happened was the Jews had this thing. The Pharisees, they had this thing. Said, now, if you swear by the altar, well, that's nothing. You're not bound with that. You know, if you swear by the gift that's on the altar, now, look what Jesus said in verse number 19. He said, ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gift, or the altar that sanctifies the gift. How about that? Jesus said, the altar sanctified what was put on it. How about that? The altar sanctified what was put on that altar. And what sanctified the altar? Blood. The blood sanctified the altar, and the altar sanctified what was offered thereon. Gifts, sacrifice, would be offered on this altar. Offered on an altar sanctified by the lifeblood of a sacrificial animal. I'll say it again. Gifts would be offered on an altar that was sanctified by the blood, by the lifeblood of a sacrificial animal. Brethren, what sanctifies our service, our offering to God, is the blood of Christ. What I'm trying to say to you is this. What the thing that should lie back of our service is the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus on our behalf. In other words, what you do should be done because of what Christ did for you. What should sanctify your service is the blood of Christ and what He did for you. Let me put it to you this way. Do you do what you do for God with Calvary in mind? Is your offering offered on a blood-sprinkled altar? Do you do what you do because of Calvary? Or do you do it just... Why do you do? Why do you do what you do for the Lord? First of all, I hope you do something for the Lord. Why do you do it? Do you do it just to do it? Or because people think bad about you? Or nobody think you're spiritual? Or do you do it because Christ died on your behalf? Do you do it because of Calvary? Do you do what you do lying back of it? Does your service offer on a blood-sprinkled altar? That Calvary lies behind everything. That the cross is your inspiration. Hey, brethren. Do you realize that the stuff you're doing for this building, Calvary should lie behind it. In other words, it should be done for the glory of God and be something that will be a blessing to folks that enter in here. Okay? And something that will help them. If anything, something that won't serve to turn them away from the Lord. Well, you know what that will do? That will make a difference. That will make a difference. What I mean is, that will make a difference in having something that is elaborate and lavish and draws attention to itself, and then maybe putting scriptures up like they want to do and do this and that other, that, you know what I'm saying? Something that's nice but right but doesn't that glorify, you know what I'm saying, brethren. It should be behind everything that we do. Everything that we do. Brother, look here. If you go do something for the Lord, are you doing it for the Lord? Or just to be doing it because you think that's what you're supposed to do? Hey, when you sing, if you sing a song, are you singing it? Why are you singing it? You know, specials. Not wrong with specials. Not singing the world wrong. Special singing. Why are you doing it? Do you merely enjoy singing, or do you want to glorify God? Do you want, hopefully, that somebody will be blessed, not by you, but by God getting in what you're doing? What's your purpose? We need, brethren, we need sanctified service. The altar that we offer our service to God on. Hey, you know what, remember the Bible says we offer spiritual sacrifices. Thanksgiving. Remember, that's one of the spiritual sacrifices, giving thanks over in Hebrews. But to give thanks and to communicate, those are spiritual sacrifices. Listen, our giving of thanks. Is Calvary behind it? Do we give honor, glory, and credit to God? Do we realize it's all because of the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did for us? Our singing, our thanks, all that we do, is Calvary back of it? Is that our motive? Should be. Should be. What should be our motivation? What should be our driving impetus? Is Christ and Calvary and what He did for us and the price He paid. The salvation of men's souls. The glory of God. What He did for us. Our altar that we offer our service on should be a blood-sprinkled altar. It really should be. Our Father, we thank You, Lord, this morning. Lord, we thank You for these principles. Dear God, we thank You for the examples we see. Lord, I pray that every person here has made peace, Father, with Thee through the Lord Jesus. Father, may we, Lord, I believe there was a progression of reconciliation, surrender, and fellowship. Lord, I pray we all know of that. I pray the Lord, everyone that's hearing me this morning, Lord, knows of reconciliation through Christ, and then surrender and, Lord, fellowship with Thee. And service will come as a byproduct of that. Lord, may we have sanctified hearing, sanctified works, and sanctified walk. And Lord, may the altar that we offer our spiritual sacrifices on be a blood-sprinkled one. May the things we do, Father, sacrificially for Thee, be done not for any other purpose than for Your honor, Your glory, Your will, and what was done for us at Calvary. Oh Lord, help us to meditate on these things, to take them to heart, help them to sink down in our hearts. And Father, we ask this, Lord, help us to never have this cold, dead, dry, formal service, never just going through the motions. Lord, may we offer up spiritual sacrifices on a blood-sprinkled altar. Lord, that blood being the blood of Calvary. Father, we ask these things in the Lord Jesus' name, and please, for His sake, according to Thy will. Amen. Okay, brother. Y'all dismissed. Love you. Hope to see you. Choir will be here today at 15 to 4. Bible study at 5. And then preaching tonight at 6. Amen. I need to see the men just a minute. I need to see all the men of the church just a minute.